For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open up in prayer as we come around the Word of God tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask for clarity in the Spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. There be clarity for us all in this important area of spiritual gifts and understanding. Give us an understanding heart, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. So tonight I want to look at how to operate in spiritual gifts. To some extent, I'm assuming that you have some knowledge of this. I will bring out certain ideas, but you'll need to bring study and your study to the Word of God in these areas as well, specifically in the area of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Spirit of God. So I am assuming that you know somewhat about what that's about. If not, please look at some of the sermons on the website and some of the information. Let's start tonight about spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll look at the first few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, the spiritual gifts that I'm talking about are the ones where the Holy Ghost is using to edify and build up the church. There are, of course, gifts that the Lord has given. For example, the gift of salvation, that is a gift that is spiritual. Obviously, there is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We're not talking about those type of gifts tonight. We're talking about the specific gifts that have been given by the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost uses them with and through his people for the edification or building up of his people, of the church itself. So looking at verse 1... let's look at this one. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren. So he's talking to brothers and sisters, children of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And ignorance is the very first thing we must overcome. I would not have you ignorant. Keep your finger just in that position there and go across to Acts 19, and we'll read verses 1 and 2 of Acts 19. So keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 12, we're coming back to that. Acts 19, starting from verse 1, and it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, sadly, across the earth, there's even whole denominations that are in this very category, or they act as though they're in this category. We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost, or whether the Holy Ghost is even operating amongst the people of God. That type of, they might not verbalise it specifically like that, but by their words and actions you see that there is great ignorance. Now the baptism of the Holy Ghost is very important, and it's the first spiritual baptism which leads into the spiritual gifts. Okay, so you see that, for example, if you go across to verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So it's talking about unknown tongues, unknown to themselves, and the evidence of being filled with the Spirit. And another term for that is being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And another term is received the Holy Ghost, as he says in verse 2. So we see here that it opened them up to spiritual gifts as soon as they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And notice here that they started to speak with tongues. And in this case, they also prophesied. Prophesied means they spake in a known language as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that's a wonderful thing, that there is an opening when we're filled with the Spirit, an opening into the gifts of the Spirit. And the first gift that we have access to is the gift of tongues. And that can be used in several ways, and we'll look at that in a minute. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12, looking at verse 1, and I'll repeat that one. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So God does not want us to be ignorant. Ye know, verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Okay, so you have a past prior to coming to Christ. You were born again, and now he's saying there's a whole area, a power area. And of course, if you know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Spirit, you'll know that Acts 1:8 says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. So it's power to be a witness. And it opens us up into the power area. Notice what he says in verse 3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So there's a couple of things here. We see here that people can indeed speak by the Spirit of God. Isn't that what it's saying? You can speak by the Spirit of God. You can speak by the Spirit of God, which tells us that the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, can use people on the earth today and speak through them. Notice who's doing the speaking. We're doing the speaking, and it's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the Holy Ghost, okay? Now notice also that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. So you can see quite clearly here that there will be nothing coming out of these gifts which will be in contradiction to the Word of God. Okay? Jesus, of course, is not accursed. He's blessed. The Bible calls him precious. His blood is precious. He's the greatest gift ever given to mankind, etc. So we see that any prophecy coming out, or any tongues and interpretation of tongues that come out that is contrary to the Word, we would have to say that that's of another spirit. Can you see what I'm saying there? And that's very important for us to understand this, that anything that comes out through the Spirit of God will always be in line with the Spirit of God. And you know why? Because the Spirit of God was the author of the book. You know, the Bible tells us that quite clearly. And so he's not going to contradict himself. Verse 4 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So you can see there's different types of gifts. And we'll be looking at a list of those gifts in just a minute. Diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So none of the gifts are going to be contradicting each other or at variance with each other. In fact, is all about edification of the body of Christ. It's all about strengthening and uplifting the people of God and equipping them and helping them in their power walk on the earth. So there won't be anything which is going to be contrary to that, and we'll see that as we go forward. So we see there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit of God does not contradict himself. Can everyone see that principle? He does not contradict himself, and that should be pretty clear. Verse 5 says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now, administrations are are related to the people who are using the spiritual gifts. So obviously, if someone gets up in a service and gives a prophecy, they're using the gift of prophecy, prophecy being an utterance in a language that they know through what the Holy Ghost gives them. Okay, so it's in a known language. And so prophecy here would be in English, and you've no doubt heard prophecies given here. There was a couple at the weekend, you probably heard that. And that was using the gift of prophecy. It doesn't mean necessarily that the person who uses that gift of prophecy is a prophet, although they may be. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? It does mean that the gift of prophecy is open to those who have been filled with the Spirit specifically, and the Spirit of God can then use them to give divine utterances. And you can see that if you're speaking by the Spirit of God, you're going to be saying the right things in line with the Word of God. So it's important for us to understand this. So differences of administrations, so some person might be used in the gift, let's say just in a service, in the gift of prophecy. Another might be used in the gift of tongues and with the associated interpretation of tongues and so on. So that talks about how they're administered, or the different persons administering them. But notice it's but the same Lord. So you're not going to have enmity between the different people using the gifts. Can everyone see what we're saying? Good. Now, notice what it says in number 6, and I want to concentrate a bit on this tonight, but there are diversities of operations. That means how the gifts are used. Diversities, or different ways in how the gifts are used. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. So God is using these different or diversities of operations to do work. Okay? And we'll see what type of work he's doing. I've already mentioned it. Edifying. He's wanting to edify and build people up. He's wanting to give people direction and strength. He's wanting to not tear things down in the body of Christ, but to lift and strengthen and help people. Can you see what I'm saying? So it's all around, and we'll see it in a minute, this word charity. Now, charity is a biblical word. Okay, it should not be substituted with just love, because charity actually means love in action. Okay, love in action. And so when you see the word charity used in the scriptures, you know that means love in action. All right. So the Bible does use the word love, but it uses the word charity as well. Can you see what I'm saying? So it's quite clear that God wanted to make it very clear that when the word charity is used, it means love in action. And of course, proper Christian love will be an active type of love. All right. It's not just a word type thing. Oh yes, I love you, and yet behind your back I'm doing all types of things against you. No. A love in action will be an agreement of word with action. Okay. So, praise the Lord. Verse 6, we'll read this again. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And notice what it says in verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So, there is a profiting associated with this. Can you see what I'm saying? It's an important thing to understand that when the Spirit manifests these gifts, there is a profiting that comes with it as well. And quite a few times in my Christian walk, and I've been born again since 1979, and I was filled within a few months after I was born again, I was filled with the Spirit. And during that time, a few times have happened where I've given interpretation of a tongue in a congregational setting, and someone said to me later on, I was just thinking about those very words, and it lined up with what the interpretation was. And I knew that was the Lord. That was the Lord. And it's happened a few times. And I know that as you step out, and I'm giving you a nuts and bolts approach here, as you step out by faith, and your heart is right with the Lord, and you step out by faith, and you use, and I'm talking about the voice gifts, we'll come to the different types of gifts in a minute, as you use the gifts and step out by faith, then there will be that flow in the Spirit. There will be that agreement in the Spirit. And it's a supernatural thing. Okay, so I don't, when I'm, you know, I'm giving myself as an example here, if I come out in a tongue or interpretation, I don't think beforehand, I'll say that word and then that word and that. No, there's a flow that comes out. And, you know, anyone that's been filled with the Spirit for quite a while will know that the tap has been opened up and there's a flow that will keep on coming if you keep on speaking in tongues and so on. I don't want to go off the track, so let's keep on going into the Scriptures. Glory to God. But the manifestation of the Spirit, verse 7, is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, 4 to 1. So he goes into a list now. Goes into a list. And there's more than nine. Some people say, there's nine gifts of the Spirit. Well, there has to be more than nine because it talks about the gifts of healing. So that means more than one, doesn't it? You know? So there has to be more than nine. And we're talking about the spiritual gifts used by the Holy Ghost for the body of Christ to operate and be edified and to work in power on the earth. All right, so there's various categories of these gifts which we'll look at in right now. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man several as he will. Now, you can see that they work. There's a working to them. There's an operation to them. Now, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. What's the word of wisdom? Well, it doesn't mean all wisdom. It doesn't mean suddenly you have all wisdom about everything. It means a word or a portion of wisdom. And the way to open yourself up to this is to have a hunger for it and actively ask the Lord to give you, and particularly this is for ministers of God and those who want to be used of the Lord in a greater way, to actively ask the Lord to give you words of wisdom and words of knowledge in your life. And the Lord will, if you're asking this in faith, he will then start to do that for you. And you'll get a word of wisdom about a specific situation at certain times. It'll come in, and there's various examples in Scripture we could give. And a word of knowledge is not all knowledge, but a little bit of knowledge, a certain bit of knowledge that might be needed in a particular time. Okay? So it might be you might be ministering to someone and you just have this knowledge, this is what they need. This is what they need. And you can even confirm it, because sometimes we might get it wrong. You can confirm it. I'm sensing, and you can say something like, I'm sensing in the Spirit that this is what is the reality of the situation. Is that correct? Okay? And if they say, yeah, that's precisely right, then you know that you've got a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for that particular thing. And, you know, the more you start to flow in the Spirit of God, and I want people to do this, the more the Lord will open it up to you. I guess one of the big things is the fear. You know, when I remember quite clearly the first time I gave a prophecy in a congregation. It was a congregation of about 80 or 90 people. And this is within the first 10 years of my Christian walk. Oh, I was trepidatious about stepping out, but I knew the Lord wanted me to do it. And so I stepped out with a big voice. People were so shocked afterwards. They thought, my goodness, I didn't think. but then when I started to do it, the Lord used me in that area. Glory to God, and things started to open up. And, you know, there has to be a start to everything. You know that? There has to be a start to everything. A start to, if you want to be used in this, and we'll see as we go forward. So we've got the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, and that's a supernatural impartation of faith, as opposed to just the general faith that we have that comes through the Word of God, but an impartation of faith to get something done very quickly at a particular time. So that is like a supernatural impartation of faith, a gift right there and then for a particular moment. To another, the gifts of healing. The gifts of healing. So that's one way that people can get healed, is in a particular, can be in a congregational setting, it can be in just a one-on-one setting, where the Lord steps in and there is a supernatural impartation. Now you notice that in these gifts that we're talking about, the first these first few, it's nothing you can manufacture. Never ever try to manufacture any of this. Never try to manufacture. Never ever put it in a pride setting either. Oh, look, the Lord is using me, sort of thing. Never ever do that, because it'll be taken away from you very rapidly if you do that type of thing. You'll find that evil things can step in. All right. So we don't want to ever be used of the enemy. We always want to be used of God, and that's where we must be humble before the Lord. Humble before the Lord, and He will lift you up. So you can see, to another, the working of miracles. So notice the gift of miracles can come in at certain times. And then we see that there is the gift of prophecy, to another prophecy, and that's known as a voice gift. A voice gift. And we can, this is something we can step out by faith and do. All right. And the same with, well, there's also the discerning of spirits. What's the discerning of spirits? Discerning of spirits is an opening up into the spiritual realm where you can actually see spirits such as not just angels, but perhaps even devils. You know, you may have heard of some people who have had the discerning of spirits in operation in their ministry or at certain times, and they've seen, for example, I know of someone who was praying over someone who had a headache, and they saw a devil in the spirit with a headlock around a person's head. So he spoke directly to the devil and commanded it to get off. And immediately when that devil fell down and went off, the person's headache stopped. So it tells you something about what's happening in the spirit there. And, you know, this obviously discerning of spirits can be in relation to seeing angelic presence. Angels, and angels have indeed been seen. Even in the scriptures, you see people have seen angels right through. So discerning of spirits, angelic beings can be in that category as well. And sometimes you can see what's happening with human spirits as well. Okay. I know I've seen people who have been very heavy, and I've seen a dark cloud over them. Now, not literally physically, but I just have sensed a dark cloud over them. On the opposite side, I've seen a glow in people as well. So that I would classify in the discerning of spirits area. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you can start to speak in tongues. You can start to pray with an unknown tongue, unknown to yourself. And the more you pray, the more the Lord will use you in that area. And in a congregational setting, you can step out, and we'll look at that in a minute in 1 Corinthians 14, you can step out and give a tongue, an interpretation of tongue. And to me, that's like when it's used in a congregational setting, like, hey, this is a supernatural utterance from the Lord, and it must always be accompanied with the interpretation of tongues as well. But when you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying to God, and that doesn't have to be interpreted. Okay. So it's a different way of using the tongues. But in a congregational setting, obviously, if you come out with that gift of tongues, then it has to be, and we'll see it in the scriptures in a minute, has to be accompanied with interpretation of the tongue. All right? This is all basic Pentecostal doctrine that I'm giving to you, and it's bringing together a lot of the good doctrine from the past. There's a lot of confusion from the past as well amongst Pentecostals, and a lot of the present day people calling them Pentecostals are in a sad state. But we won't go into detail about that. We don't need to. We just want to concentrate on the biblical view on these things. So just go forward in this chapter, go right to verse 31. Now, this is what I've observed over the years, and it's in line with verse 31, and you'll see the word covet used. This is the one area where covet is a good thing. Covet means desire earnestly to have. All right, you can covet in a bad way. All right, thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's goods. Well, that's desiring in a bad way. Right? That's theirs. But notice it says in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts. Well, the best gifts are the ones that are needed at the right time. Can you see what I'm saying? Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And then he goes into chapter 13 and shows the excellent way. In other words, it's not just about operating the gifts. You must do it properly. And he shows something that's very, very important with respect, and I've mentioned it already. When you're operating in the spiritual gifts, it's not about yourself. So pride must be eliminated out. It's not about exalting man. It's not about trying to manufacture something. It's about wanting to flow with the Spirit, and that's where anointing comes in. Anointing is all about flowing in the Spirit. It's about flowing in the Spirit. It's about opening yourself up to the will of God. It's about edifying the body of Christ. And it's about love in action. And that's why he comes into charity. And notice what he says in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So notice you can speak in tongues of men and you can speak in tongues of angels. So there's angelic tongues. You could be praying in tongues and you could be speaking in Siberian. You wouldn't know what Siberian was unless you've learnt it. I don't know many that know Siberian through learning it. But you could also be speaking in angelic tongues, and who knows how many there would be of that. The Lord knoweth. See what I'm saying there? So you could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but you have to have charity. You have to have love in action. Okay? You cannot be... Now, the reason we say this is because the Bible says faith worketh by love. Faith works by love. You have to operate in faith, but you have to also operate in love. All of this works by faith, but it also works by love. But it's love in action. It's action to show the love of God on the earth today. You see what I'm saying? Okay. So take the example of anyone who's ministering. Why would you minister unless you're called? And why would you minister unless you're wanting to edify the body of Christ and the people of God and build them up? Can you see what I'm saying there? Now, there are people who are trying to use things and manufacture things and use things for their own glory, and we call it empire building and so on. But frankly, I'd rather go to the end of my life and having only ministered to a few people than to have manufactured and got a whole lot of people. I'll be in big trouble with the Lord if we did that. Okay, let's understand this. So charity, love in action, is very, very important. Notice what he says in verse 2, related to the gifts of the Spirit as well, or spiritual gifts. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Nothing. So charity has to be part of the operation of all of this. And so this is where you've got to examine your heart. You've got to be a person of faith that examines your heart and say, well, if there's something in there and you want to be used in this area, and you're holding, let's say you're holding unforgiveness against your brother or sister, you need to get that unforgiveness out. And you don't wait for a feeling to come upon you. You say, I forgive that person by faith in Jesus' name, and I'm not going to hold it against them anymore. They might have said a bad word to you. Come on, let's have a bit of grace, eh? We all say bad words at times. And I'm not talking about swearing there. But I'm talking about sometimes we do things that we regret later. Well, let's get the Lord's forgiveness about that. Let's repent about that and go forward. Because this is what the spiritual gifts, or how the spiritual gifts can go into operation. So notice that you could have the gift of prophecy, etc. You could be speaking in tongues and so on. But if you don't have charity, then it's not going to amount to anything. It's certainly not going to be edifying. So let's go into 1 Corinthians. Well, let's go to verse 13 of 1 Corinthians 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. So faith, hope and charity, all Christians should have, right? You can't please God without faith. And of course, faith is related to godly hope. Hope and looking into the future. And charity is love in action. They all intertwine together, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, because nothing works properly in the Christian walk without charity, love in action. Can everyone see what I'm saying here? It's important for us to grasp hold of this as we go into 1 Corinthians 14, which is a wonderful chapter. The Lord is devoted, and I don't know whether I'll get right through it, but I'll go through a few areas here. The Lord has given a whole chapter dedicated mainly to the voice gifts here. Gift of prophecy and the gift of tongues and interpretation. So he says in verse 1, follow after charity. And isn't it interesting, he says, and desire spiritual gifts. So you should desire it. In my experience, if you don't desire it, it will never manifest in your life. If you don't covet these areas, then you won't. It won't manifest. It's not just going to drop on you, because it operates by charity and faith. You've actually got to desire it and desire for the Holy Ghost to use you in these areas. Now, obviously, 1 Corinthians 14 is talking about, and it goes into detail about the voice gifts, and specifically in the church setting. But verse 1, and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Okay, so prophecy is a very important area. Very important area. And you'll understand this if ever you step out and give a prophecy. Because you don't want to be giving something which is not of God. All right, so you're not going to be calling Jesus a curse. In fact, I would stop. If anything has happened in this congregation, I would stop it immediately. If it was someone, I'm not saying it would happen here, praise the Lord, because we're compassed about with favour as with a shield, aren't we? So that keeps unfavourable things out. All right? That's what we confess and believe very strongly here. Let's continue on. Verse 2, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So there you are, there's the nature of speaking in tongues. You're speaking unto God. And if you're praying in tongues, let's just quickly go across to verse 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So you can pray in tongues. An unknown tongue is unknown in a language unknown to you. But we know that when people were filled with the Spirit, for example, in Acts 2:4, it says they were filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so we see here that you can have a prayer life now, praying with your Spirit, with your born-again Spirit, because you've been filled with the Spirit, you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can now pray with the Spirit. Notice you can pray. By praying with the Spirit, you're praying beyond your own understanding. You know, our understandings are limited. We're limited. If I was constrained to just praying in English, well, I'm limited only to my understanding, aren't I? Okay, to what I know. But praise the Lord. The Lord's opened a greater way to pray. And so we don't want to be ignorant of this area. And what he's saying here is that I will, as an act of your will, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. And a very beautiful area, which can be developed more, is I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. We've heard a lot of singing with the understanding, but not much singing with the Spirit. I must say, in my life, and I'm just giving an example through my life, is that I have sung in the Spirit quite a few times over the years, And I remember specifically one particular day going down the street. This was in Melbourne. And walking down the street, and I was singing in the spirit. I don't know what others around me thought. Doesn't really matter. But I was singing in the spirit, and there was it was like a battle march. You know, as I was singing as a spirit, and it was a strength came into me, and that's where the edification. And I was singing in the spirit, and praise the Lord, it was a great experience. This is an opening which I think can be more looked at in people's lives. Particularly, think about if you're in a situation where there's a whole lack of joy in your life. You can say, well, Lord, I will sing in the Spirit. I will sing in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost give me utterance and sing in the Spirit joyfully, and it'll open up to you. Anyway, I don't want to go too much off the track. Verse 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Can you see, like in a church setting, and sometimes there'll be a prophecy spoken under the anointing of the Holy Ghost over a person. Paul did that with Timothy, for example. You could see that on Sunday at the ordination. There was a prophecy over Samantha. You may have noticed that as well. Praise the Lord. So sometimes there'll be a prophecy in that way, but a lot of times it'll be in a congregation type of setting, and particularly when you've got a smaller congregation or smaller group, even in a Bible study group or a smaller fellowship group, that can happen in a very dynamic way. Glory to God. What is the benefit of it? What does it say in verse 3? To edification, that's building up. Exhortation means like, this is the way to go. This is the direction. Glory to God. And comfort. Comfort. Think about that. In this horrible, sin-laden, devil-filled, cursed world, comfort is a very valuable thing, comfort from the Lord. And the Bible says that God is the Father of all comfort. Okay? He's the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. So, here's one of the things that you'll understand if you hear a godly prophecy. It has these type of ingredients in it. So, you can see that verse 4, he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So there's the benefit of praying in tongues, isn't it? Edifying yourself, building up yourself. The Bible says building up yourself on your most holy faith. Okay, Paul said he spoke with tongues more than them all. That's in this chapter as well. But notice that you can be speaking in tongues and edifying yourself. All right. And notice what he says in the second part of this, but he that prophesied edifieth the church. So when you're by yourself, you're not going to be prophesying, are you? Most of the time, it'll be in the church setting. In the church setting. Now, that doesn't mean that the Lord can't give you a word and it'll come out of your mouth, which is a supernatural type of word, which is related directly to yourself or to a situation you've been dealing with. But here what we see is that prophesying edifieth or buildeth up the church, builds up the church. Verse 5, I would that ye all spake with tongues. So there's the desire. Everyone should be speaking in tongues. And tongues has nothing to do with salvation. Let's be very clear on this. To get salvation, you receive Christ. Okay? No. It's all about power and edification, the power of the Spirit of God working in us, an edification or building up of yourself, yes, but also the church as well. And that's what he says in verse 5. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesied. He's talking about in the church setting here, and we'll see that as we go along. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So can you see that if you're going to be in a congregational setting and you come out in a tongue, there has to be an interpretation associated with it. Now, it can be the same person who gives that interpretation as has given the tongue. That's fine. It can be someone gives it, comes out in a tongue. Another person comes out in interpretation. And that's fine as well. But notice that it's done to the edification of the church. If it was just that I came out in a tongue and there was nothing after that, you know, and I'm not praying in tongues, then that wouldn't be right. Can you see what I'm saying there? So understand this, that he's saying that the church has to receive edifying. Let's go down a little bit further, and you can read some of this yourself by yourself. Verse 12. Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, and I believe we should be zealous of spiritual gifts, we should be zealous means within yourself you are, yes, there's an eagerness about it, but you really want these spiritual gifts to be used. You genuinely want the things of God to be manifested. Okay, you're not about yourself. You wanna use it in charity. You're not about empire building or edifying man or anything like that. You're all about exaltation of the Lord, edifying the church, showing love. As it says there back in verse 3, edification, exhortation and comfort. All about that. So he says in verse 12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. What do you have to seek? Seek that ye may excel. That means be excellent, you know, to the edifying of the church. That is the primary thing. Edifying or building up of the church. Edifying or building up of the church. This is what we can seek. God wants us to do that. And then, of course, verses 14 and 15 talks about praying in an unknown tongue and praying with your understanding as well. So there's those two types of prayer. Glory to God. That's wonderful. And when you understand it, there's nothing scary about it. It's easy for you then to just flow with the Lord. When I first was filled with the Spirit, I was very quiet. Very quiet. And a little bit embarrassed because I didn't have much teaching about it at the time. But as I started to, you know, grow in the Lord and understand it, more boldness came in and more of an understanding. The more understanding you have in the Lord, the easier it becomes. And I'm talking about understanding in line with the Bible. Glory to God. Let's keep on going. All right, so in verse 18 he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. So clearly Paul, he already talked about praying in tongues. He already talked about speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. He's talking about he spake a lot in tongues, more than you all. So think about this. If you've been prayed for and had hands laid upon you for being filled with the Spirit and the tap has been turned on, so to speak, then the Bible talks about rivers of living water coming out. Okay, the Bible talks about the well of salvation, which is different from the rivers of living water, which is the flow of the Spirit. And so let me encourage you to pray in tongues every day, develop in that, and open yourself up to that. Glory to God. Now notice verse 18, and I'm starting to close now. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Verse 19, yet in the church, so in the church setting, I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Can you see what he's saying there? It's all about edification of the body of Christ, of the church. And he says in verse 20, brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In other words, be grown up in spiritual understanding. In malice, we shouldn't be students of evil, okay? I shouldn't have to tell you that. But there are people on the earth who are definitely students of evil, immersing themselves into all in all types of things. But we should not be students of evil or malice. Let's go down a bit further. There's a lot more I could say. I think I've said a fair bit tonight. Let's have a look at verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? So this is talking about a congregational setting, isn't it? Yeah. Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. And that's fine, by the way. That's fine. You can have that. Let all things be done unto edifying. Can you see the common thread right through this? Edification. Edification. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, this is when everyone comes together, let it be by two or at the most by three, so he's put a limit there, hasn't he? And that by course, and let one interpret. That can be the same person or it could be the people doing the speaking out in tongues. So you could see there. But of course, if you have a congregation of 30, you don't want 30 people one after the other giving a tongue, because it takes a bit of time, doesn't it? It'll take a time away from the preaching too. That's why he limits it to three there. And that's fine. Just, you know, as the Lord leads, it's not a competition, you know. And it's just, you step out by faith. If you've been filled with the Spirit, you have to have been filled with the Spirit. And as we saw before, we looked in Acts 19, they started to speak in tongues and they prophesied. So there was an opening up into the spiritual gifts straight away. And that was in the voice gifts there. And notice what it says in verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, can you see that you can control it? You can control the voice gifts. You can control, I will pray with the Spirit. I will give a tongue. I will give an interpretation, or I will give a prophecy. You know, but there has to be a desire for it, and there has to be an opening in your own life for that type of thing. And you know, if you know, like you wouldn't go into a congregation that didn't believe in the spiritual gifts and start coming out with a tongue. It's just a waste, okay? And it's not right anyway. People with common beliefs, all right? And I pray that you'll have those common beliefs in this. Just a couple more verses. Verse 38, coming to the end here, 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Okay, so what did we read right at the very beginning? You remember? What did we say? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Does God want you ignorant about spiritual gifts? He doesn't, does he? That's why we're giving this teaching tonight. All right? If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. There's whole denominations that are ignorant of this and don't want to know it and have enshrined it so that their doctrine of the Holy Ghost is almost non-existent. Yes, they might acknowledge that the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God is the third person of the Trinity, but they have a very small understanding of things like being led by the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, the operations, adversities and administrations of the Spirit, and so on. So in other words, they're very underdeveloped in the doctrines about the Holy Ghost. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. You know, you cannot push people through walls, but you can lovingly teach people and bring them up to a right level of knowledge. Verse 39, wherefore, brethren, covet, there's that word covet, to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. We saw a bit about this, didn't we? You know, if there's no one to interpret or you can't interpret, you don't step out in that. You have to be, if you want to be used in these areas, you have to desire it. And of course, you know, being filled with the Spirit is desiring to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and then operating in that and going forward in that. And that, by the way, to me is a step of obedience as well. Because the Bible says be filled with the Spirit, and there's other scriptures which talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So I pray that, and if you do have any other questions, you can come and talk to the ministry here. That's fine. We've got things on the website as well to help in this area. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you. And Father, I ask that there be an opening in every person's heart and life to go forward in this vital area, Lord, in Jesus' name. There be an opening of the spiritual gifts in our lives in a greater way, in a greater measure than ever before, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that everything be done decently and in order and in edification of the church and done in charity, Lord. And remind us, Lord, remind us that we must be all about love for you and love for our neighbour. Help us in this area, Lord, and help us to be people that are open to you constantly. In Jesus' name, amen.